It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A government shutdown with workers outside government getting hurt.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Some 800,000 federal employees are out of work during the shutdown. But don't forget about government contractors. Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports on how they can face trouble, even if they're not furloughed.
Like everything relating to the government shutdown, the question of whether a particular contractor is still on the job is, it depends. For instance, many contractors doing jobs where the money's preloaded can keep going, unless, say, they need a furloughed employee to sign off on something. Attorney Elizabeth Farrell is a partner in government contracts at McKenna, Long & Aldridge.
I had one client who has a construction project going, and the actual site is now shuttered. It's, you know, it's locked up.
Big companies like, say, Boeing may keep workers on payroll but shift them around to work on other projects. But what about smaller companies? Alan Schwatkin is with the Professional Services Council, a trade group for government contractors.
I know many of our smaller companies who will probably suck it up longer because in the professional services world, the most valuable commodity you have is the people you have working for them.
And replacing them doesn't come cheap. I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed around the world. In Europe, a bit of a mixed bag there with lower in Germany and France. Asian markets closed mostly up on positive economic news out of China. Japan finished a bit lower, though. A win for BP in the ongoing legal battle over Gulf oil spill claims. A federal court agreed Wednesday with BP's argument that the settlement could lead to false or inflated claims of damage. Court proceedings not over yet. Yesterday in Wall Street, the S&P dropped a 0.1%. The Dow lost 0.4% to end at 15,100. Tesla's stock closed down 6.2% yesterday after video of one of its electric cars on fire went viral. Marketplace's David Gura joins us. Good morning, David.
Morning, Mark.
So a lot of interest in the cause. What do we know?
So apparently the driver hit something. The company says that the driver hit a big piece of metal, and that is what caused the fire. Evidently, what caught fire was one of the car's lithium-ion batteries, and that's what powers the Tesla Model S. It's a sort of sporty sedan that's in the $60,000 to $70,000 range. And Tesla's gotten a lot of praise in the past for its batteries. I mean, Tesla's been really innovative, and other car companies have started to use Tesla's technology in their vehicles.
Now, battery fires have gotten attention with other companies. Talk about that a little.
That's right, Mark. I mean, it happened with the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, that new jumbo jet you may remember. And a couple of years back, batteries in the Chevy Volt were catching fire. Look, electric cars haven't caught on in the way that say, hybrids have. And a lot of that has to do with battery life. I mean, the goal for these companies is to develop a battery that can go far on one charge and doesn't cost a small fortune. And for a lot of drivers, the battery is still a hang-up. I mean, I think it's fair to say that this video, Mark, probably hasn't helped that.
Definitely not. David Gura in Washington, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
This week's Obamacare insurance exchange rollout is getting special attention in America's Latino communities. That's the topic for today's conversation with our friends at Univision. Stephen Keppel covers economics there and joins us from Miami. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Affordable Care Act is an especially big deal in some ways for Hispanics because the community has a large population of uninsured. Explain why that's the case.
One of the main reasons is that they work disproportionately in lower wage jobs that don't offer health benefits and other types of benefits. You see an overrepresentation in the services industry and construction that haven't traditionally offered health care.
Now, there are four key states for America's Hispanic population. We have New York, California, Florida, and Texas. And among those states, they've kind of taken two different paths. So I wonder if you can just talk a bit about the different healthcare experience ahead for those in New York and California versus those Latinos that live in Florida and Texas.
If you're Latino and living in California and New York, you're probably or you have a much more likelihood of getting insurance through Obamacare. And it's mainly because the states are much more active. They have their own exchanges. And especially California, which has, you know, the highest population of Hispanics, they've been working really hard to get the message out. And New York as well has sort of done a lot of outreach and are really making a push.
And so what's the story in Florida and Texas?
So it's a completely different story. Nationally, 6 out of 10 Hispanics are eligible for the Medicaid expansion. But actually more than half of those that are eligible for the expansion live in states like Florida and Texas that aren't offering it. So by some estimates, almost 2 million Hispanics living in Texas will not end up with insurance because they're not expanding Medicaid. In Florida, there's been a lot less promotion of the law. And again, it's because of the state government's opposition to Obamacare.
Now, Stephen, how is the Obamacare rollout going as far as providing Spanish language resources to those who need it?
It's really a mixed bag. In California, their exchange launched in English, in Spanish. Meanwhile, the federally run exchanges, you won't be able to apply online in Spanish until later in October. And they have Spanish speakers available on the phone to answer questions and help get you enrolled. But it's, you know, it's something they're going to have to work on to really reach the Spanish speakers in the country that are going to need insurance.
Okay, Stephen Keppel at Univision. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And finally, shutting down love. With the government closed for business, hundreds of couples are scrambling to replan weddings set for upcoming weekends. Those who spent months or even years planning to take vows in national parks and monuments now have just a few days to come up with Plan B. Wishing them all the best. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.